Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 61. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And joining us via Skype, our Canadian correspondent.
Ethan.
Yay, Ethan! And our special guest, we've conned him into it again, yes, folks, from Quick Stop Entertainment, writer of the Trailer Park column, Chris Stipp. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Heck yeah, thanks for coming back.
Yay, full house.
No kidding. And this week we're starting the 2008 wrap-up, which, why would you start with the good? We're going to talk about the crap and the disappointments of 2008. But before then, let's talk about what we've watched over the last week or so.
Well, you and I watched Hamlet 2.
We did. Rock me, sexy Jesus.
I loved it. I was really not expecting that much just because I know, Chris, you liked it a lot.
Loved it.
But I heard mixed things from a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I was a little scared to watch it, but I found myself really enjoying it, and I actually watched it twice in 1 week, so.
I thought it was just okay, but Raped in the Face was great.
I feel like I've been raped.
In the face.
Yeah. I don't know. Starting off with the stage dramatization of Aaron Brockovich was pretty good.
Every semester we get fisted by this guy.
What's fisted mean?
I loved it.
Good, wholesome movie.
Oh, yes. Take grandma to see it. I've started watching the HBO series John Adams, which is amazing. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
Nope.
I haven't had a chance.
I just put it in the Netflix queue. I'm like, yeah, let's watch this. And it is amazing good.
Giamatti pretty good?
Giamatti's outstanding in it. Cool. Yeah.
How long is that miniseries?
You know, I think it's about 9 hours.
Oh, jeez.
So the first...
Wait, Davies.
What?
Sorry. I was saying, have you seen Band of Brothers?
I have not.
Okay.
I need to. I know. It just, you know, I'm kind of gotten burned out on World War II between all the video games and all the movies and everything over the past however many years. So Revolutionary War, let's go there. And then that and the wife's willing to watch John Adams with me. Band of Brothers, I'm going to be on my own. So,
Okay.
Anyone else?
I saw Virus with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, I love that movie.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it in like 15 years. But
okay.
Kind of like how I loved Leonard Part 6 when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Virus has got some really nice gross moments, but it's pretty wretched. Jamie Lee Curtis said it was the worst movie she's ever done, and I completely agree with her.
Is that Baldwin brother in that one?
Yeah, William Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, William Baldwin and Donald Sutherland are also in it, and they look like they're trying very hard to keep a straight face throughout the movie. It's pretty terrible, but it's interesting because, you know, it's a Dark Horse movie. It's one of the few movies that Dark Horse actually got up there and produced, and the other one was Dr. Giggles.
Book?
What's that?
The comic book company?
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a reason, like, we don't see, like, a lot of Dark Horse movies anymore, but,
The most recent one being My Name is Bruce.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep, I believe so.
Yeah. But wait a minute. Okay, isn't there, like, the robots, like, make flesh robots out of their skin?
Right.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and there's, like, little insect robots. I mean, they look kind of like the robots from, like, Short Circuit.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty silly, really. And at one point, like, Donald Sutherland, spoiler for a 10-year-old movie, Donald Sutherland gets possessed by the robots, and he's, like, still wearing his sailor cap. He's like, I am a robot. And he has, like, this Borg little eye attached on you. Yeah, it's pretty terrible, but I got to say, I had a lot of fun watching it. It was like a ripoff of a ripoff of a ripoff, because, you know, it's like, it's ripping off Leviathan, which is ripping off Alien, you know, and so forth and so on.
Oh. All right, then.
Yeah.
Chris, have you seen much?
I just saw, went to another screening of The Wrestler a couple nights ago.
Cool.
And
so how many times have you seen it now?
This should be the second time I've seen it.
Hmm. So how did it hold up the second time through?
It's just as good. It's just as solid. It deserves all the kudos in the world. You know, Aronofsky should be credited for two things. One, for, you know, getting the good script that he got, and two, just editing this thing so it's just a lean and mean movie, and there's just not anything to cut out. It just moves beat to beat all the way to the end. Loved it.
Cool. Yeah, it's not hitting here until like the 23rd.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll see it again, well, you know, after we've...
I'll tell you this. If you're interested, there are the things called the internets. There are screeners.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm just saying. There might be a way to see it early.
I'm not holding one in my hand right now.
Neither am I.
I'm holding Virus.
The funny thing is that I took my mother to see this this new screening.
Really?
It was a little awkward. I will admit, a little awkward. I wouldn't recommend everyone to take your mom to see this movie because there are a few moments where.
Was Bride Wars sold out? Like, why'd you take mom to see The Wrestler?
Well, because it was a critic screening.
Oh, cool.
And so it was like a Thursday night, the Friday before it was supposed to open. And she's a big Darren Aronofsky fan. I've taken her to see. I shouldn't be ashamed, but I'm very proud that I took her to see Requiem for a Dream.
Wow. Woo, all right.
Last 10 minutes of that movie, I had no idea. It was the first time both of us were like, wow, this looks pretty good. Let's go see it. And of course, the last 10 minutes of the double duty there. And then I took her to see The Fountain, and she loved that. So she's just a big fan.
What was that, Ethan?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Your mom's pretty hip, Chris. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And I'm happy I was able to share that with her because she really appreciates what Aronofsky does. And so she's kind of just a fan. So that was nice to be able to do that for her.
Very cool.
Nice.
Right on. Anything else, sir?
Let the Right One In.
Yay. Did you like it?
Woo!
I dug it. I really, really dug it. I thought it was one of the more unappreciated. I shouldn't say unappreciated, but I don't think enough people were exposed to it. You know,
Underseen,
exactly. Thank you. And I think if more people saw it, they would echo the same, you know, the same praise. I know I and a lot of other people do.
Absolutely. Cool. All right.
Well, and other than that, I have to give a special shout out to. I found a copy of Rad from 1985.
I've seen Rad. Yeah.
So have I.
Love it.
Yeah. What's Rad?
It's Rad.
When BMX was huge in the 80s, Lori Loughlin from Full House, and I think now 90210.
Yeah, she's a good looking chick.
Yeah, right. She still holds up.
Wait, Chris, can we have like a party at your house watching?
Please, can I bring my BMX bike?
Oh, you have no idea how bad this movie is.
It's great. And Talia Shire from Rocky plays the mom. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm fine.
It's incredible. It is if you scour the internet, it's not that hard to find. It's definitely worth checking out.
Is it worth doing a double feature with like Breakin' and Breakin' 2?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. Oh,
it's right up there with the Dirt Bike Kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, starring Peter Billingsley. That's right.
Okay. Since we're on this boat, I did watch the Pom Pom Girls this week. Which is like from 1972 or something like that.
Is that in that drive-in set that
you
got? Okay.
Freaking awesome. It was actually one of the only movies of that set that lived up to the trailer. Like, it's nothing but sex and boobs and kids smoking weed. It was amazing. Like, literally, it's an hour and a half of kids pulling pranks on another high school. It's like the worst thing I've ever seen. It's so awesome. Definitely, you guys have to find the trailer on YouTube. It's the funniest thing.
The pom pom girls.
Yeah, that's what.
Wow. Yeah, and this was part of what box set again that you got?
This was in the Drive In Collection 3, I think, that I got.
Okay. See, even like on this Grindhouse crap movie.
Yeah, I've got like 40 of them now. Can't sleep. Grindhouse will eat me.
All right, Ethan, what have you been watching, sir?
I've been doing more in the Race to 80 for 2008. I also saw The Wrestler and nice. Saw Revolutionary Road.
Oh, wow.
The Fall and Frozen River.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Good ones.
Revolutionary Road. How heavy is the subject matter in that movie? I've heard a lot of people say that you want to like throw yourself in front of a car after you're done seeing it.
Well, I wanted to throw myself in front of a car because of how bad it was, but
really?
That's too bad.
No, it's not that bad. It's if it weren't for the acting, it'd be a pretty awful movie in my opinion. But it's probably my biggest disappointment of the year, to be honest.
What was it? Quint or Capone over at Ain't It Cool reviewed it, and they're like, "This is a perfect movie, except I hated the subject matter and I hated everything this movie had to say."
Well, I felt that I honestly found its themes to be pretty trite, to be honest. Like, I thought so many other movies have done it better, and it says really nothing new. And these characters, you know, you're supposed to at least be interested in what they're doing, but they're there's no even real connection shown between them. It's just constant scenes of them fighting, and it just, yeah, big disappointment.
It's too bad. How's Frozen River?
The wrestler, I'll talk about it more next week. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but, fair enough. Cool. And what were you asking about first?
But being an aging, washed-up wrestler myself, I could really relate to it.
How's Frozen River?
Oh, it's pretty good. Melissa Leo is terrific in it. Definitely check it out.
Cool. Right. Okay, well, we've been sitting here more than long enough, so let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this week. Since we actually have outlines this week, holy crap.
Well, it's January, and you know what that means. First of all, we got Bride Wars. At least that one has Anne Hathaway, Bride Wars. Based on the T.D. Jakes novel, Not Easily Broken, which is apparently not how it played at the box office.
Not Easily Bankable.
Much better title. And then Don't Let David Goyer and Gary Oldman Fool You. This is not The Dark Knight 2. The Unborn.
Or Yvette Usman's Butt.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. Come on.
Did anyone else see this besides Josh?
No. Okay.
How is it, Josh?
How do you say her name?
Odette Yeatsman.
Oh.
She is like a step up above Megan Fox. She's really? So hot. Yeah. She was she was the girl. Let me just talk about her, not the movie. She was she was the girl in Cloverfield. She was his girlfriend that they went and rescued. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So were you hoping that she'd die in this movie?
Well, her acting was terrible.
Okay. Just asking.
The movie's pretty bad. It wasn't as bad as what everyone I read a bunch of reviews before I went, and people were saying they were laughing through the whole thing. I didn't think it was that bad, but. Because it's you have to give him credit for coming up with an original horror movie, because everything that's coming out is a remake. But just wasn't very scary. The one thing that was actually scary was it's in the trailers, but it's the old person that's crab walking and his head's upside down. That scene was pretty good.
Okay.
But aside from that, it was just kind of dumb. The special effects were awesome though, but yeah, the acting was terrible. Gary Oldman shows up in it and he's a Jewish priest and they have to perform an exorcism on her. And halfway through, there's this whole Nazi subplot that comes into play. So
wow, I don't know. Okay.
It was just kind of what am I watching?
So it's kind of like The Signal. Sorry.
Actually, I didn't see The Signal. But I have to say, as far as how bad it could have been, it wasn't that bad. So it wasn't Mirrors and it wasn't One That's Called or anything. I would rather watch this on a loop than never see Mirrors again. So.
I have a feeling we'll be hearing about Mirrors again later, won't we?
Yeah. Okay. But you see her butt. At least two times in the first 30 minutes, so that's a plus.
Okay.
Ethan sold. All right. And did anyone actually see Bride Wars, or did we all dodge it like the plague?
I'll see it, but not this weekend. Oh, we took them to Dollar Theater. Yeah.
Fireproof is at our Dollar Theater now.
Yay! But we have good quality cinema in our Dollar Theater.
Yeah, it's got 15 showings a day. That's why I bring it up. It's hilarious.
It's probably on two screens over here.
They probably timed it with Mass, so you can go to Mass and then go see Fireproof directly after.
Okay.
That's the way of the master and then go watch it.
All right, what's hitting DVD this week, sir?
This week's DVD releases. The Little Scene, though, mixed in reviews and reception. Ed Harris's Western, Appaloosa, starring Harris and Viggo Mortensen and Renee Zellweger. One of my favorite films of last year, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, muy sexy. That's Scarlett Johansson, Javier Bardem, awesome movie. One of the worst horror films I've ever seen, which is not coincidentally being re-released because of the remake. The original, My Bloody Valentine.
This is uncut for this has scenes that were cut out of the U.S. theatrical version.
They should just keep cutting. That film is so bad. And then Kiefer Sutherland in Mirrors.
Wait. Where's the bleep button?
Oh, I don't have it active. Oh, sorry.
Okay, never mind.
Wait. Just can you edit this part out? What is it that you bleep out when you keep saying Mirrors? I always wanted to know.
It's the F-bomb, right?
The F-bomb, yeah. Because he says it he just has Tourette's in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And just in case anyone's ever curious, we actually don't actually say anything when we bleep. We just edit ourselves for the bleep factor because it's funny. Okay, sorry. That just ruined the magic for someone.
No, my childhood.
That's sad. There's also no Santa Claus. Kevin Costner stars in Swing Vote, which nobody saw. Let's see. Tyler Perry's The Family That Prays. Interesting cast. I've heard really mixed and negative things about that one. Speaking of negative, Box Office Poison, Jason Biggs co-stars in My Best Friend's Girl in rated and unrated version.
Doesn't it have the double whammy of Dane Cook and Jason Biggs?
And Jason Biggs and Kate Hudson. Apparently not on a good streak there. And then finally, our weird title pick of the week, although Dave has some news about this one, Tokyo Gore Police.
Tell me someone's looked up the pictures for this movie.
No.
Okay.
I don't want
to. I'm scared.
Essentially, the whole thing is there's a virus that goes around, and if you're infected with the virus and have an appendage chopped off, it grows back as some kind of bioweapon. And sure enough, some guy gets his junk bitten off or chopped off or whatever. So it grows as this 3 foot long, bloody mass. And it is one of the... Japan does gore in ways no one else possibly could ever think of it. This is probably a good thing, but yeah.
Is this a Mikkei film?
No, it's not.
That is surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
We jumped in the lake this time.
Yeah, no. There's a thing in here, a link from Chris.
Oh, cool.
You don't. My internet isn't working well, sir. What did you send me?
You got on the mirrors kick about Kiefer Sutherland, and... I'm sending you the only thing that Kiefer Sutherland should ever do on camera, and that's to beat up a Christmas tree.
Okay, if mirrors was that,
before, which is awesome.
Wow,
if mirrors was that, it would be awesome.
That was more exciting than all last season of 24.
This is the joy of recording the show. We can pause it and then go watch it. Wow, that's like a stage dive into a Christmas tree.
That was awesome.
It is. It's the greatest thing he's ever done.
Kiefer versus the Christmas tree, the audience wins.
Wow.
Very nice.
Okay, then. Well, I think I may have to put that on the site, just because. That's just awesome.
It's great. You can watch that again and again.
Put it on infinite loop. With some Disturbed in the background music, you know. That's all. Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's move on to some news. Wow. To go from one piece of glorious awfulness to another, apparently we're getting more John Cena.
Woo! Yay, the Marine is back.
Yes, over at wearemoviegeeks.com, they have the poster for John Cena in 12 rounds, which we keep, both Barry keep wanting, and I keep wanting to say 12 blocks.
Yeah.
But it's from the director of Die Hard 2 and the producer of Speed. That's what their big claim to fame is. Yeah.
Well, it's Remy Harlan, who used to be one of the great action movie directors until the last couple movies, Driven and The Covenant, which were so terrible. And The Exorcist at the beginning, for that matter. But, back in the day, he directed Cliffhanger, Long Kiss Goodnight. I mean, he really was one of the greatest action movie directors. So, yeah, it's kind of fallen
on hard times. The Marine 2?
That's a good question. I keep hoping that – I can only hope that it's as good as The Marine. I'm kind of tempted to say we should do The Marine for our next commentary.
Oh, yeah. I'd be up for that.
Although I think Josh gets to pick the next one.
That's right. Hey, don't do that. I get to pick it.
No pressure, Josh.
At some point, though, because next time Marty's in town.
Oh, heck yeah.
We'll record the commentary.
Are going to pay when I pick that movie, whatever movie it is. Seriously, you guys are going to pay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Do you have one of mine? I mean, can you give us a preview? Or?
Oh, no. It's a surprise.
It's going to be the teacher, isn't it?
That would be freaking awesome.
So are you just going to put it on and be surprised?
And have a big smile on my face the entire time.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Wow, to go from one disturbing thing to another disturbing thing for an entirely different reason, The Last House on the Left trailer hit.
I think it looks good. I really do.
I already know what's going to happen.
No, I know.
Which kind of... I've kind of fought against the idea of some people saying that a trailer gives away the entire movie. This is very much point case in point, though.
It's the whole movie. It's the twists, the endings, the death scenes, everything.
Indeed.
Wait, what are we talking about? Alvin the Chipmunks, the squeakquel?
No, the Last House on the Left trailer.
Oh, that. Okay. Didn't watch that.
Yeah, it's okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the original, to be completely honest. I think it's a pretty hideous film. And it is what it is. Craven was trying to make an exploitation film, and he sure succeeded, but... it's nasty stuff, and I can't say they really needed to remake it.
Well, I mean, yeah, but obviously they did, so it's it doesn't look that bad, I don't think.
You really think it looks good?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it. I think it looks good. I was I clicked on the trailer to watch it. I'm this is going to suck, and then I was really surprised. I actually have not seen the original, so.
Are you going to see the original before the
no
release? No?
I'm going to wait. Just because I know I like the original better.
Okay, probably. Fair enough. Okay.
I don't know about that. I think you might like the remake better.
Oh, really?
It's pretty terrible, yeah.
No. Well,
no. Has anyone else got any other news before we get to Iron Man? I mean, to Watchmen? I've got Iron Man, too.
Well, the Slammin' Salmon trailer?
Slammin' Salmon.
Slammin' Salmon. Did anyone else watch that besides me?
No.
No, it's pretty unfunny. Which is kind of sucks, but
it's the Broken Lizards guys.
It's the Broken Lizard guys. Yeah, it's a Red Man trailer too, but nothing's really funny. But there's one thing that I did laugh at. They're like, because it's about a restaurant, and there's like a table full of kittens, and somebody comes up and goes, "How's everyone feline tonight?" And I thought that was funny. That was the only thing that I laughed at in the trailer, but I'll see it because I like them.
That's so funny.
So wait, the kittens are like at the restaurant as
eating,
guests?
Yeah.
At least he didn't say, you know, it's not so funny, meow, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm using that as a pickup line.
Have you now? All right. Well, Ethan, you said you had other news?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke and Sam Rockwell are going to be the bad guys in Iron Man 2.
Nice.
Is that official?
Well, they're tough. But.
Yeah, the word from other people who have sources are saying that this is pretty legit right now.
Interesting.
So yeah, I'm
happy for Mickey Rourke, but I even with the wrestler, I didn't think he was going to get that many more roles because, you know, his face still looks frozen. Like, what's he? How many roles are there for people with frozen faces?
Well, part of it is that if he's the Crimson Dynamo, he's in a suit the whole time, pretty much. So
it's going to be like Mr. Freeze.
No, it's going to be like an evil Iron Man type thing.
Oh, interesting.
But not quite like
And who's the other villain? I know Sam Rockwell, but what's the other villain?
Justin Hammer, who's like the evil, even more of a douchebag than Tony Stark.
Huh.
So is this basically he's fighting two other Tony Starks?
Another Tony Stark and then his minion or whatever they're going to do. I don't know.
No.
People in suits beating the crap out of each other. That's all we really want at this point.
Yeah, but Transformers is kind of like that.
Well, that's true.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Terrence Howard's out. But Rockwell, Don Cheadle, Tim Robbins, and Mickey Rourke are in.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting cast.
Oh, it's Tim Robbins, not Sam Rockwell?
No, Tim Robbins is playing Tony Stark's dad in flashbacks.
That's right. Okay. I don't like Tim Robbins.
Why not?
What?
I think he's a douchebag.
Really?
Yeah.
What about his acting,
though? It's Team America, right?
Yes, it's all because of Team America.
Oh, come on.
I went to Iraq. Oh, no, that's Sean Penn.
Yes, it was.
No, it was Tim Robbins when they threw the cigarette on him. He's like, killing when he was on fire. I don't know.
That's why you don't like Tim Robbins? Yep. Oh, come on.
Have you seen The Hudsucker Proxy?
No.
Have you seen Jacob's Ladder, one of the best horror movies ever?
No.
Okay. Have you seen Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny?
Yes, I have. And I've seen The Player.
Shawshank Redemption?
It's harder than leather?
No.
Tougher than leather, I'm sorry.
He was in the elevator with me when we went to Grindhouse, and I kind of wanted to punch him in the face.
But wow.
I didn't do it.
I'm glad you did. It must be the last time you'd be there, man.
A lot of rage.
Just to say I did it, just to be like I punched Tim Robbins in the face.
Wow. Okay, then. All right. Well, shall we move into the Watchmen news, then?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So apparently, Warner Brothers has pulled a 180 from saying, we do not negotiate with terrorists, to to suddenly they put out a release saying, negotiations are going quite well. So apparently, Fox is going to get some money out of this.
Yay.
They were just desperate in need of a blowjob. That's about all they wanted.
Wow.
Wow. I just heard that, huh?
Yeah, you did. You did. No bleep button or anything. Yeah.
I bet there's no soap for the ears.
You sure we don't have that bleep button working, Dave? We might need it for today's episode.
Yeah, well, I'll have to do plenty of post, I'm sure, during the worst of segments. Now, let me throw something out there. There's talk about, you know, about Fox wanting an obscene amount of money. I've heard something else that sounds possibly even more interesting. Right now, Fox owns the created Batman series from the 60s, 50s and 60s. That's never seen a release because Warner Brothers owns the rights. One of the theories being thrown around is that possibly in exchange for not wanting any money for Watchmen, Warner Brothers lets Fox put out the Batman TV series.
That sounds like a good trade to me.
Yeah.
It would be.
I kind of think Warner Brothers is going to get ripped off in the process, but yeah.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, and I know we brought this up earlier, they didn't you know, when I do my job, I have to make sure I'm doing it the right way. And when you're a studio and you need to clear all sorts of legal hurdles to make sure you're in the clear and doing things, then going ahead and making this movie, you know, we can all, you know, bitch and moan as much as we like about how, you know, unfair, uncool, and, you know, on this and on that. But at the end of the day, Warner Brothers didn't have the proper, you know, didn't have everything in line. And Fox decided to step in as soon as the movie was done. And it was a unsavory move, but, you know, they were well within their rights. And hopefully, A, Warner Brothers learns from this, and B, we get Batman the series on DVD out of it.
Yeah, I'd like to not have my bootleg anymore. I'd like to have a legit copy of it. But what kind of surprises me is that we haven't heard who's been fired from Warner Brothers yet.
Exactly.
For this screw up, because this is a pretty phenomenal screw up here.
Yeah, because I mean, it's all too easy, I think, to paint Fox as the bad guys. But what this is like Warner Brothers bought this tricked out car with an Alpine stereo, surround sounds, and shocks and rims. And, like, they parked their car, like, in the worst neighborhood, left the doors open with a sign that said, here, take this, and they got ripped off. I mean, that's really what happened. I mean, Fox, you know, as much as we'd love to say they're the evil, beard-stroking bad guys, they're completely within their slimy, sleazy, evil legal right to do what they did.
Yep. Hang on. Absolutely.
Thought in. Okay. Go, sir.
I don't remember. I'm sorry. I forgot even what my thought was going to be after.
Okay. That's all right. It's a very interesting.
it's a sticky situation, and I know what I was going to say that they're, you know, in closed door meetings this weekend to hopefully get this hammered out before I think the trial is supposed to start on the 20th. Hmm. So I think we'll know one way or the other how this is all going to shake out, you know, beforehand.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that there's something come out right around the time of the Golden Globes show too. I wouldn't be surprised. I'll put it that way.
I mean, well, Warner just put a big ad during football, so I think.
Oh, it's been all weekend. It's been pretty nice.
But is anyone actually going to go see it?
Yeah,
that's good.
I think it's going to have one of the biggest openings of the year. I do, because the trailer got pushed on The Dark Knight, which was last year's biggest movie, and the publicity.
I realize
huge.
That, but people
the
I've talked to some
been selling.
What?
I realize that, but like so many people like I talk to. I've seen the trailer and not read the thing. Is like, what the hell is this? I have no idea what it is. And
well, that's
awful.
What people said about 300 too. What is it? Is it smacking into each other?
Very big difference here. 300 was it wasn't about Frank Miller.
Want to figure out what it is.
Well, I suppose they do, but 300 wasn't about it being a Frank Miller movie. 300 was about guys in gladiator outfits chopping people up. Mm-hmm. That's why it had a huge opening.
Yeah,
Watchmen doesn't seem to have the same appeal. I don't think.
Oh, I think it's going to be much bigger.
The graphic novel's been selling big, but I still get that Snakes on a Plane feeling, and I don't know why.
No. I think this is going to be the biggest R-rated opening probably ever in the springtime. I would even go as far as like 90 million.
You think it's going to beat Matrix Reloaded, though?
No, because Matrix Reloaded was, 127 or something?
Ridiculous.
No. But I think it's going to be huge, especially for a movie that really doesn't have any stars in it. It's not, you know, it's being opened, you know, by the publicity. It's not a movie that there's no celebrities in it.
And I agree. I think it's going to open huge, but I could see it having a huge drop-off, too.
If it sucks.
Well, the thing that scares me is that I'm going to go opening weekend and there's going to be like, it's going to be filled with like 5-year-old kids. You know?
Let's go see the newest superhero movie.
Well, that's always the case, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's quite possible. So that's going to be very interesting because no matter how much Warner Brothers gives up, it's very iffy if they're going to make their money back. So it'll be interesting. But then again, they've also got Harry Potter coming out this year, which is going to make up whatever that they miss on.
They're going to have a very good year no matter what. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, they got a Terminator Saliva coming out too.
Yes. Well, and I'd like to bring this up real quick. There's been all these people calling for a boycott of Fox. We're going to boycott Fox. I looked at Fox's release slate between Fox and Fox Searchlight. You have Wolverine, which is looking iffy at best, and Avatar. So what's the big loss to boycott Fox for 2009? If someone goes down that road, I'm just saying people are going to say, I'm boycotting them. Well, you're not missing out on anything.
They're doing Avatar?
Yeah.
I'm actually contemplating about not seeing that.
You haven't seen
any
trailers?
Just to be an asshole and not see it.
You're going to see that trailer and be like, oh my God! And you're going to camp
James
out.
James Cameron can... No.
Wait, does it worry anyone else that all the pictures so far released from the movie have been like James Cameron behind a camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, like instructing somebody?
Well, since it's all 3D, I'm not entirely surprised.
Well,
I'd still figure they'd, I don't know.
I saw Brandon Fraser before Journey came out, so
I mean, I don't know.
Wow. Okay, then. We're all feeling very opinionated today, apparently. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the news there, then. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and argue more about the crap that was 2008.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
Mm, a slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
Yeah.
And we're back with the worst films of 2008. We're going to do the worst films and also some disappointments that could have made the top 10 list but did not. Yeah, I guess
I'll let you start off. I'll let you swing away first. Sir. Okay. Just pick one and...
Okay, well, I'll start at number 10 then for me. For me, the one of the worst films of the year was the first film in 2008 to be released, the remake of One Missed Call.
I was wondering if this is going to make your list.
Yeah.
Bone Exorcism, right?
It's pretty bad. There's a scene early on in the movie where a ghostly hand reaches out of a pond and snatches a cat and pulls it into the pond. It's kind of about that movie. I knew
that's
the movie.
Really... From the cat's perspective, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know,
like water.
I think that was the first sign that the movie really was going to work. It's not scary. It's pretty awful. And I mean, considering it's based on one of the lesser Takashi Miike films anyway, it's one thing. You know, Edward Burns is not terrible in the movie, but Shannon Sossaman, of course, is. This was
worse than The Knight's Tale.
Yes, definitely. Though I can't say, other than Rules of Attraction, I've never been impressed with her as an actress. But yeah, she's pretty bad in this film.
Fair enough. Well, I'll let our guest go next. Chris, mm-hmm. What have you got?
I think I'm going to start off with Rachel Gets Married.
Really?
Wow.
I know people are just throwing themselves at this movie. I have not found a more self-indulgent, artistic, art for art's sake, like obnoxious, unreal movie in a lot of years. Mm. Unfortunately, I was looking at my watch every 10 minutes. I thought there was nobody I could even relate to in this film. I did appreciate some moments in the film. I think Anne Hathaway really deserves some credit for a lot of what she does, but everyone else around her are just, you know, messes that are best left like on the floor. I just did not enjoy it.
But the lead singer of my favorite band is in the movie. Like,
who's that?
The guy from TV on the Radio. He's in the movie.
Huh.
Guess you got.
The guy, that hipster who with like those glasses. He wants to wear like sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, I have glasses. Oops.
So apparently he won't be making a career in Hollywood.
I'm telling you, and I really would like to try to see what everyone else is seeing, but I can't. I just can't. That wedding near the end of the movie. I'm thinking, what wedding A is this? B, you know, why do we have to sit through it? I think it was. I can't square myself with what I thought with this movie and what everyone else is seeing.
Okay. Well, Josh.
Just my opinion.
No. You know, I think we all have stuff on our list that are going to get us all some crap. So you started off swinging for the fences, sir. Well done.
It's nice to hear an alternate opinion because honestly, I've heard nothing but love fest for this movie. So it's interesting to hear another point of view.
Yes. Help temper expectations. Josh.
I'm sorry, Mary. Make it happen is my number 10.
You're like shaking your butt for 90 minutes.
No, it's awful. It's so bad. It's uninspired. And like, my mouth was open the whole. Well,
not
for two reasons. It wasn't for the drooling. It was just because I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. There's so many montage scenes of like them shopping and like She like it's really it's like you guys should actually watch it. It's pretty damn funny, but it's so
actually,
bad.
The entire movie's on YouTube, so maybe.
You should definitely watch it. It's you're just like what really, and then like.
So now you understand why this went straight to DVD?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So it's not even a guilty pleasure, though.
No, you couldn't even... Cause, no, because the dancing is just stupid. Like, it's not... No, sorry, Mary. Just leave it at that.
All right, then. Well, Ethan?
My number 10 choice is 21.
Hmm. Yeah.
In my opinion, this is the most bland movie of the year, and it's disappointing, because it could have been a really fun movie, in my opinion, but it just... It goes nowhere. It's not exciting. It's predictable. And even I probably shouldn't take this into account, but I know the book, in the book, which is based on a true story, all the kids were Asian, but they made for the movie, they made them all white. Hmm. It actually kind of offends me a bit. So,
as it
yeah.
should. Cool.
Yeah, terrible movie.
Totally agree with you. I saw that and I was like, this is kind of crappy. And everyone liked it.
Yeah, it was a huge hit, but I totally
yeah,
agree
I
with
know.
You.
Like, I hear people say, oh, 21, best movie ever. And I'm like,
it's one of the most forgettable movies of the year. It really is.
Yeah, essentially, if you've seen Rounders, if you've seen like every other
you've
gambling
seen
movie,
the Sting,
seen
yeah. yeah.
If you've enough. Seen Across the Universe, I mean.
Oh, unfortunately, I have. Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Yep.
Let me get my list here. Oh, I might as well go for the token one, In the Name of the King. I'll start off there. Uwe Boll's film.
Oh, I saw like 20 minutes of that.
It's bad. It's a complete waste of Jason Statham because, well, what movie of his recently hasn't been, but a lot of it is you know, you've seen from The Transporter, you've seen from even from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, whatever else, the guy can act and the guy can fight. And it's so obvious how slow everyone has to go in order to try. He has to go in order to try to keep up with everyone else for the action moves. It's sad. The effects are bad. The acting is hammy. I know I brought up when I saw it before the whole thing about where they drop into the river. Like 10 out of 10 movies would show them actually falling in the river. But you see them drop out of frame and then, oh, they're crawling up on land from a pond. Really? And having
it's like in Batman the movie with the...
Yes. Yes, where they're on the buoy and then suddenly they're in the bat boat. And it's like if that dolphin hadn't jumped in front of that torpedo, we would have died. Yeah.
Speaking of Jason Statham, did you guys see that thing in Patton Oswalt's blog in MySpace where he said that he's Gatham for Statham? He put this whole thing about how much he loves Jason Statham. Just read it. I'll give you a link later.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to read that. Okay. And the funny thing is that not every movie that Uwe Boll made this year it went on my worst of 08 list because Postal was not anywhere near the worst movie of the year. I've got another 6 movies on my list that are far worse than anything else on that list that he's made. So I'm not saying it's a great movie, but it's not the worst thing ever outside of having to see Dave Foley's junk. Beyond that.
Well, you're not alone. There's a few, like our local paper, The Independent, they actually said they think Postal is not only his best movie, but one of the most surprisingly watchable films of the year.
Yes. That's a very good way to put that. Because seriously, you think Uwe Boll, you think crap, this is going to suck, it's going to hurt to watch. Mm-hmm. And it actually had some very funny things in it. I mean,
they should put that on the DVD, surprisingly watchable.
Totally.
Rave review right there.
Well, I mean, the movie shows that Uwe Boll actually has a sense of humor between him saying that his movies are funded by Nazi gold, and then he gets shot. They put a squib in his crotch, and he gets shot in the nuts. So, I mean, it's, you know, at least the guy can take a joke, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. All right, Barry, back to you, sir.
A film, you know, there were a lot of unfunny comedies that came out this year. One that I really wanted to love, particularly because Dave loved it so much. I'm hard on it because the talent involved was so good. When you have Simon Pegg, Tandy Newton, I really expected Run, Fat Boy, Run to be something of a classic, and I was really, really disappointed with it. I really did not like the film. And it's on my worst list because I don't know if my expectations were overloaded, but I just wanted it to be great, and I didn't think it was.
And I think it was a fun movie. It's not in my top 10. It's not even my honorable mentions, honestly. It's pretty middle of the road as I look back on it. I enjoyed it, but, you know. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. I think we're back to Chris.
Yep.
This one holds a special place in my heart. Twilight.
Oh.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Oh, my Lord, the sparkle. I think... I think I'm of two minds on this. One, it was a wretched, ugly, badly acted, badly effects kind of movie, and you know, for what it was just awful. And Robert Pattinson doesn't deserve half the credit that he's getting in you know the mainstay press.
Well, his hair deserves the credit.
What's that?
His hair deserves all the credit.
Yeah, his eyebrows. Eyebrows, and I think, and the powder puff. But I think why I'm split on this is that I think a lot of teenage girls found their dark night of the year in this movie. They you could ask anyone between the age of like 13 and 18 or even 20 about, you know, this movie, and you'd get obviously the opposite direction and the reason why you're going to see another one come this November. So, you know, for my part, as I watched it, I realized how bad this movie was, but I literally was in a theater with, you know, girls who were just sort of squealing, you know, with delight at what they were seeing. And so,
but see, I would be horrified if I was a parent knowing that, having seen this pile, watching the vampire watch the girl sleep, and instead, you know, oh, that's romantic. No, dear, this is bad.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. Yeah. I can't
wait till the fourth one with the, you guys know what happens in the fourth one, right?
Is that with the vampire, with the baby?
That's with the baby being taken out by his teeth or something.
No. Her. I haven't told you guys this. Okay, I'm going to spoil like the entire series for everyone.
Wait, is this a pedophile werewolf? Wait, what are we talking about?
No. Apparently, first of all, the Luke Perry hair on steroids. Okay, first of all, his hair isn't like Luke Perry hair. It's like Luke Perry when they did In Living Color, where they had the hair fight and killed each other with their hair. First of all, he's a 107-year-old going after a 17-year-old, not for sex. Then you have the fact that, how do you put this? This is going to get us the explicit tag right here, but oh well. When you become a vampire, you die pretty much. So whatever's living in you that gets expelled doesn't come back, we'll say. And so he wanted to make sure he could have offspring. So for 103 years, he didn't just shine the helmet, whatever you want to say.
Gotcha.
And so that he could have a child, which is ludicrous point number one. Then apparently the gestation of a vampire baby is much faster than a human. It starts to kill whatever her name is, Bella. So her werewolf friend has to gnaw the baby out of her stomach.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she's about to die, Edmund finally bites her and turns her into a vampire so she doesn't die.
Ah.
Okay, actually, that sounds pretty cool.
I want to say because it's like watching a train go off a cliff.
I would rather watch that than the crap that came out in November.
So, yeah, I mean, it is like watching a train go off a cliff. I'm like, I want to see this because I want to see how bad this can get.
Doesn't sound like they could adapt that, though.
The werewolf, he, like, imprints on the baby, or to say that he's going to, like, have sex with her later or something. That's what I heard.
That's just all that I'd heard, and that was enough for me to know, say, I'm sold.
I can't see they can do that into a movie, though, you know? I mean, it seems like they'll have to tone that down somehow, because let's face it, the demographic for this movie is 13-year-old girls. Even if they've read the books, you know, you can't make that into a movie that's, you know, not R.
One can dream.
Well, we've got a few years, we'll see.
Rated PG-13. Right. Rob Schneider is the werewolf.
My number nine, sorry, Ethan, is Step Brothers. It was the only movie I walked out of this year.
I can't believe you walked out of Step Brothers.
Yeah, and I sat through all the other crap that's on my list.
You did. Step Brothers was, I don't think it's a great, great comedy, but I thought it was at least funny and not that terrible. You walked out of Step Brothers.
I just got pissed off at it. I don't know. I would actually watch it again.
What was the breaking point for you when he uses junk as a drum?
The hose on a boat or whatever.
Oh.
That was the best part. What are you talking about?
That was when I was like, I'm done. I'm going to walk out.
It was actually I rewatched it recently. It's actually the first movie I watched in its entirety on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Better on Blu-ray?
Yeah, I got Blu-ray recently. Woo!
Cool.
It's funny. I actually watched it with my mom, and we were, like, quoting it the whole week, so. That says something.
All right, Ethan, it's your turn.
My number nine stinker of the year is Hancock.
Fist wiener.
What?
Fist wiener.
Say it again?
Fist wiener.
Oh yeah. Fist wiener.
Say it again.
You just wanted to hear it again. I know.
Yeah, you two want to be alone. That's fine.
No, that's for later. Ethan and I already got something scheduled.
But yeah, I thought
After
this had
Dark
a fun,
has a
like,
whole new meeting. Sorry.
I thought this had an enjoyable enough kind of first half, but it hits this point where you can tell the writers are just making things up as they go along. And yeah, I was rolling my eyes for probably the entirety of the second half of the film. So,
You know, yeah. I think there was a way to tell that story better. And that was what was so frustrating about Hancock for me. That was on my disappointment list, because it could have been so good. There was a really good story to be told there. It's just it didn't happen.
Yeah, because I enjoyed the first like 30 minutes of it. I was like, this is okay. I get it.
Yeah.
And then
and we're getting a sequel. Answering all the questions.
Fist Weeder 2.
Oh wait, make it ass foot.
Ass foot.
That sounds like something out of Super Troopers. I'm sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. I guess I'll go next. Something that Barry and I sat through with our wives. It was only worth it when Natalie Portman asked her brother to sleep with her, just for the crowd going ah. When it clicked with everyone in the audience at the same time, and the reaction was priceless. But the other Boleyn built girl was complete and utter crap. Would you agree with that, sir?
One of the most, kind of like The Spirit, is a great-looking bad movie.
And I talked to my wife about this because she loves the book, actually. Yeah. And she said,
and so did my wife, yeah. Yes. Stephanie lent Julia the book, and she loved it, too.
And the reason why the book has such a good following is because it's not just another Anne Boleyn movie. It's more about her sister.
Yeah.
The movie was just another Anne Boleyn movie.
Right.
And beyond that, how do you get that talented of a cast to suck that badly?
And it's written by Peter Morgan, right? He's a great writer. Like,
who's Peter Morgan?
Yeah, he wrote The Queen, Frost Nixon, Last King of Scotland.
Really?
Man.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, that was a disappointment and a half.
Yeah.
It was awful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my disappointment list, but no, I completely agree with you. I mean, any movie where Scarlett Johansson is not even remotely sexy, Natalie Portman has to basically carry the sexy weight, and then Eric Bana is playing a total horn dog.
Oh, he could carry the sexy weight.
Yeah, total waste of time.
Yes. Okay, back to you, sir.
Fool's Gold, a movie that was neither funny nor exciting nor action-packed nor much of anything, and it should have been all those things. It should have been fun. It should have been Romancing the Stone at the very least. At one point, you've got Ray Winston, Malcolm Jamal Warner, yes, Theo from The Cosby Show, and Donald Sutherland playing a game of dueling accents. The three of them have these terrible accents that can't disguise how bad their roles are. Matthew McConaughey, clearly, I don't even know if he was acting. It's like he just took his shirt off and walked around and they filmed him. And then Kate Hudson, I mean, it's so weird because, you know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is not, you know, the pinnacle of great movie comedy, but it's very funny and they had great chemistry in that movie. They act like they didn't even know each other in this film. This movie really should have been at least fun. They could have really coasted on the chemistry they had in the previous movie, but there was no chemistry, there was no script. It was just a total waste of time.
Was it worse than Sahara?
Oh, much worse. I kind of like Sahara. But
no,
this
don't say that.
Barry, may I ask a question?
Yes.
I've not seen Fool's Gold, but I refuse to date any girl who likes it. Is that a good call?
I think it's good to have your standards that high. Yes, I really do.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very... If a girl likes How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, that's cool. But yeah, if she owns Fool's Gold, no.
Fair enough. All right. So now we're giving out dating advice on Screen That's Geeks right. Radio. Oh, yeah.
And who's still single?
Yay. Shut up. All right. It's not just saying we have give you bad advice. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying that I need to grow.
Yeah, I tried to hook Josh up the other day. Yeah? So, yeah.
All right.
See more on that later.
Oh, so Barry's like the hitch of this podcast?
That's right.
You got to come to the Springs, Ethan.
So does that make Josh the Kevin James?
No, I'm not. Hey.
No. Sorry. All right, Chris, back to you, sir.
I actually have a double feature on this. I think it's important not just to split hairs, and they're kind of in the same boat, but it would be Mad Money and The Women. I think for one of two reasons. One,
A.K.A. the movie Katie Holmes dropped Dark Knight for.
Exactly. And, you know, you kind of wonder what she was either thinking when she read the script.
Or smoking.
You know, seeing Ted Danson's hairpiece again didn't, you know, really drive a lot of people to the box office. But I think the two of them together proved why at least in my eyes anyway, why women deserve better. Yeah. I think when you see movies like Sex and the City, which I know a lot of people, you know, yay or nay, I watched it and wasn't completely offended, but at least it wasn't drivel, you know, it wasn't horrible. I think it kind of goes along with Twilight. There's a certain reason why these movies, you know, why movies are made. It's obviously show business, and if you have a business and you insult the people who are, you know, your customers, you know, this is what happens. And I think women deserve a lot better credit than they got with The Women and Mad Money.
Yeah, I wholly agree. I saw The Women. But for me, the movie lost me after two seconds. The opening scene where you see the point of view of Annette Bening's character, and she's walking into a department store, and you see everything from her point of view, and it's like the Terminator. It's like there's like a readout of all the stuff she's seeing, and like the camera's going for a close-up, like the Gucci bags and stuff, and it's like they make it like she's some robot android. And it's a joke that has no bearing on the rest of the movie. It's just kind of there. And right. It's just like it's just the first of many awful, unfunny moments in a movie that is just made out of funny, unfunny, awful moments.
Right.
So you're saying go see it.
Yeah, it was bad. I haven't seen Mad Men, but yeah, Women, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's an insult to women that you know, that think this is the kind of film that women will flock to, because it's called The Women and it has like all these terrific actresses in it, all slumming in a really bad script. And in a movie, by the way, that they've been trying to get made for, I think most of you guys know this, they tried like 15 years to get this movie made. At one point it was going to star Julia Roberts. But yeah, the film is, it's stale and it's not funny.
Right.
Way to quote the illustrious Ben Lyons, "I love women, but I hated The Women."
Oh my God.
Oh, that hurts.
I heard that. I heard he said that. That's amazing to me.
That's so stupid. Wow. Okay.
He's making.
I love gold, but I hated fool's gold. So is he our unanimous pick for worst reviewer of the year?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I hate Dark Knight, but I love The Dark Knight.
All right. We'll move back to Josh.
I got a triple horror threat.
Ooh.
We got number 8. We got Teeth. Number 7. We got The Ruins, and number 6. We got The Mirrors.
Ouch.
Teeth, Ruins, and Mirrors.
The mirrors. Yeah, just mirrors. Yeah, Teeth was just stupid. Which you saw too, right?
I did. I sure did, yeah. Yeah. Like, well, even like, I remember that one.
I was even looking forward to the penis getting bitten off, and it wasn't worth it. The Ruins was awful, and then, of course, there's Mirrors. So I think we've already discussed that.
Yeah. All right, then. I guess that just says enough for itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Ethan, back to you, sir.
Okay, my number 8 worst of the year is Charlie Bartlett.
Hmm.
Thank you. I hated that movie.
Yeah, it's just it tries to say these profound things about the teenage experience, but really, I thought like 90210 is like more profound, to be honest.
The Girl Next Door is more profound than Charlie.
Oh, yeah. It spoke to my experience. Yeah, But yeah, this Anton Yelchin kid, he's not bad. He tries the best with what he has, but really this character isn't even really a character. He's never really given any definable traits. The writers don't really know what to do with him, and yeah, it was a big disappointment to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That was a real disappointment. I love Kat Dennings. I loved her in Charlie Bartlett, and I loved her performance in Nick and Nora. But yeah, Charlie Bartlett was a real letdown, especially considering the talent involved.
All right, then. I guess it's back to me. I actually didn't number mine. I'm just kind of going by the list because I didn't really want to think about these movies enough to actually have to rate them. I guess I'll go back. I'll follow Josh's lead and go with the horror route and go with The Signal. Hmm. You know, this could have been a very interesting, very fun movie, but it couldn't make up its mind whether it wanted to be a horror film or a comedy. Insofar as that it actually went from Drive and threw it directly into Reverse to try to make it a comedy, then threw it back into Drive to make it a horror film again. And it wasn't that good. And it really made me mad because even the funny parts weren't that funny. It was like, they're like, hey, we just watched Shaun of the Dead, but we're doing this really, trying to make this scary horror movie. Ah, screw it. Let's make this funny part. And it just really pissed me off. It was just, it's not worth watching at all. I was confused by the end of it. I'm like, why did I sit through this? So yeah, avoid it at all costs. Even though I know a lot of people liked it. Yeah. All right.
It's okay. It's only available to rent at Blockbuster, so screw that.
wow, they got a gem on their hands. Okay, back to Barry.
Eagle Eye, one of the most impressively stupid films I've ever seen.
Oh, wait, Pink Eye, right?
Yes, Stink Eye, or whatever. Yeah, awful, awful, awful. It's a horrible, horrible mix between Enemy of the State and Stealth. Yeah, avoid this movie at all costs. Terrible film.
And also, Ben Lyons called it an intelligent thriller, so...
Oh, dang.
Dang. Mm.
You should do that with every movie. Just throw whatever.
What did Ben Lyons say?
The ruins gave me the runs.
Oh. All right, then. Back to Chris.
Oh, how can I follow that?
Good luck.
I would definitely have to say without question, M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening. I don't know why. I think it's... I know the sort of knee-jerk reaction to a kind of movie like this is, why do they keep allowing this person to make movies? But seriously, why do they keep allowing him to like make movies by himself? You know, who keep giving this guy money? I mean, seriously. It was homogeneously bad screenplay. And you know, I think one of the first rules you learn when you're a writer is it's tantamount to suicide to have like a story and then have the last page and you know say, and then he woke up, you know, and that seemed a lot of what was going on here. It's like it was you know, just a bad writing and just a bad movie.
Well, anytime you have Marky Mark trying to outrun the wind, I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
Or talking to a tree saying,
that's not even a tree.
Yes.
Yeah. Yo,
well, say hi to your mother for me, all right?
I love that.
Hey, goat.
Yeah. Yes, the world's coming to an end. Wait, let me go through the scientific method. Yeah, this movie is phenomenally bad. It is something that everyone should watch, I think, though, just because you can't appreciate how bad this movie is unless you see it. That's just right. Me, though. All right.
That was actually next on my list, too. So I'll go to my number four, which is The Love Guru. The Love Guru. I actually didn't watch all of it. I was like,
wow.
Saw parts of it. I saw probably like 3/4 of it, and that was enough for me. And random sections. So it was awful.
Dang.
Did you see the part where they were having the towel game, where they're smacking each other with urine?
Urine, yes,
I saw that.
That
was probably the low point in the movie. So at least you saw the scene that makes it worthy of your list.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, then. I don't even know what to say to that. All right, Ethan. I think we're getting into the inexplicable portions of the list. So,
okay. Number seven on my list is The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Mm. And, you know, it's actually funny looking back in this list. I don't really have as much contempt for this movie as I have the other movies on this list. Because at least I had a good time making fun of it. You know, and you know that, you know that scene in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the beginning when the Paramount logo transitions into a gopher hole, was it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's a scene where a tomb transitions into Brendan Fraser's face. And I felt that was very effective.
That's all you need to say about that.
Yeah.
Wow, and don't forget the Yetis.
Yeah, Yetis.
Yay.
I haven't seen it. I might at some point. Because I've seen the rest of them. I may as well.
You should.
But then again, I did Dodge Rush Hour 3, even though I'd seen the other two. So
you shouldn't see that one.
No, okay. No. For me, Mummy 3, it's bad, but for me, it was a guilty pleasure because it's terrible, but it's fun bad.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like eating too much cotton candy. Like afterwards, like, why did I do that? But it's not like, it's fun while it's happening. Yeah.
Okay,
but
then.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all.
All right. Is that back to me now?
Yes.
Or is it Ethan? Ethan just went with Mummy 2. Okay. I will go with something that's going to be on no one else's list, and that it would be the Craptastic Pineapple Express. I have not been this bored and stupefied by a movie. I can't remember the last movie that made me hurt this bad, outside of Mamie Littered Part 6.
No.
Wow. That's harsh.
I did not like this movie.
I go with boring, but really?
Leonard? They spent 20 minutes recapping the entire effing movie.
It's true.
Really?
That was the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, that was.
It's so realistic. Because, you know, when you're with your friends and you just have this crazy adventure, it's like it hit me right here, Dave.
If you mean the nuts, then okay.
It is too long. I'll give you that. It's way too long.
I can't,
it's a 2-hour comedy about pot.
I can't even say how much I didn't like this movie. I mean, Danny McBride was somewhat funny. I thought he was way funnier in Tropic Thunder, personally.
What about Franco? And no,
I'm trying to remember the parts that I laughed at, and I can't even remember them.
I didn't laugh when they were in the woods and he like blew the smoke on the caterpillar, and that was funny.
Not so much. Yeah, no.
I just thought it was a great bromance. So.
Fair enough. Okay,
I agree. Great,
a romantic comedy.
The only part that I remember fondly, somewhat at all, was the part about killing a unicorn.
Yeah.
And when he was driving around with his foot through the windshield. Yippee! I just cannot stand this movie. I will never watch it again. It made me hate Seth Rogen.
Aw.
It did. Yeah.
So you're not going to see like Funny People Observe and Report or Green Hornet.
Green Hornet I'll probably see because I like the character, not because of Seth Rogen. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to do the gigantic downer there. I'm taking a giant crap over a movie people liked, which I think we'll do again later. But all right, back to Barry.
The worst romantic comedy of the year, Over Her Dead Body, which only I saw. This is Paul Rudd and Eva Longoria. How do I hate thee? Let me count the ways. I'm not even going to count. It's so bad. Yeah, it's creepy. It's weird. It's really creepy. I mean, you know, your fiance dies and she's like crushed to death by an ice sculpture, and it's meant to be funny, and her ghost haunts you while you're trying to like be with somebody else. And like Eva Longoria is so, I'm not a fan of hers honestly, but she is so annoying and obnoxious in this movie. And like you feel bad for Paul Rudd. Like it's not even funny. It's like you really want Eva Longoria to like walk into the light and go away because she's so obnoxious in this film. It's terrible.
That almost sounds like it'd be like a great pre Sharon Tate Roman Polanski movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't mean it that way. I just
Sorry. Obviously my mind went right straight to the gutter, so.
All right then. Well, let's move back on to Chris then.
Oddly enough, that's my next movie, the Roman Polanski Wanted and Desired documentary. I'm objecting to it not only for it not being a very good documentary, but that it bends closer to a pro Polanski bent more than anything else. I think it's even 30
Executive
years later,
producer,
I know.
Producer Michael Jackson, sorry.
yeah, looking for something like that. But after watching it, it's not. I don't think it did what a documentary is supposed to do, and I think it ignored, you know, one of the, you know, some rather gaping facts about this case, and you know, in good conscience, can't even call this a very good documentary. I think it was just offensive to me, just as a. Now, as a father now of a young girl, I'm thinking that this guy is still 30 years later. I know he was looking this week to, you know, have everyone sort of look the other way about it. And I'm glad the courts still say, no, if you come back here, we will pursue this. So,
Chris, were you against Polanski before the film?
You know what? I think I was. And yeah. I knew a lot about this. And I think it really generated a lot of traction for me when the Pianist came out.
Yeah.
I think it a lot of people, and I read it all the time, even still, of people who want to just sort of not talk about it or not even, you know, consider it. And I think that's one of the more egregious things that anyone can do, is sort of ignore the big sort of elephant in the room.
Interesting.
That's a very good point.
Didn't mean to bring everyone. I'm sorry.
Hey, I did it too.
So it's a sad day here.
It is. We'll be happier next week. Josh, back to you, sir.
I think this is the most offensive film of the year, Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Which way? Specify.
I don't know if a talking Mexican dog that all he says is "I want more tacos" is offensive to anybody, but I just cringed through the entire movie thinking Disney made this. You know, I would rather watch Homeward Bound 2 Lost in San Francisco than revisit this. This was awful, truly truly offensive.
So, okay then,
yeah. Did anyone else see it? Was that the only one that saw it?
No, but I do want to briefly add that when I was at Disney World last week, they had this the Backlot tour, right, at Disney Hollywood Studios, and they had like this this section where they have costumes, and like over there, here are the costumes from Beverly Hills Chihuahua, and they had like this little tutu that a dog was meant to wear, and I thought it was kind of sad that that was so proudly on display. But you know, it was a big fat hit. That movie made 90 million.
I
know.
I mean, when you have a scene with Jamie Lee Curtis talking to a dog over the phone going bark 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 bark, so that was
and that was probably the highlight of the movie. Piper Perabo is in that
Piper
too.
Yeah, and I love her, so not as much as Mary.
just to be clear about
that.
So your love of Mary is Make It Happen proof.
Yeah. make it stop is more like the title of that movie.
Alright, okay, back to Ethan.
Yeah, my number six of the year is The Happening. Not much more we can say about this, but I just want to say one thing. Is anyone else here a fan of Tim and Eric Awesome Show?
Yes, I am.
I am. Love it.
Didn't this movie feel like a skit from that show?
Yeah.
I would go with that.
They should redo it and just remake it with themselves in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to move to your next one on your list, sir?
Sure. My number five is Righteous Kill.
Ah.
What can I say about this? This movie's kind of a black hole of entertainment. You know, people kept saying, oh, it's Pacino and De Niro. How can it be bad? Well, when they're both phoning it in, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. True.
All right, then. Wow. Well, I've only got one left on my list. Okay, but I guess I'll just do it and let it go with that. Because I had Twilight, I had several other ones that have already been mentioned. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Sock.
Yeah.
I like I said, these aren't numbers, so this wasn't the worst movie of the year, but I take it back. I have been assaulted in a stupid way more than Pineapple Express this year, and it was Indiana Jones 4. I've never felt more talked down to. It didn't make any sense. It was stupid. Refrigerator. That's all I have to say. And just the fact that from the beginning, we're not going to use CGI. We're not going to use CGI. The first thing you need is a CGI freaking gopher. Really? And the CGI nut shots and the CGI Tarzan swinging and the CGI, I'm sure it was a CGI hat that flew in at the end. I don't know. But the story didn't make any sense. It wasn't true enough. It didn't give me any realm of reality at all to grasp onto throughout this entire movie. And that's what killed it for me.
Didn't they actually CGI the script? Sorry, I had to.
If you listen to certain voicemails, perhaps, yes. If you listen to Marty, yes, I wouldn't be surprised.
So this is your pick for number one worst of the year?
No, it's not. I'm making a point that I didn't number these at all because I don't want to think about them anymore than putting them on the list. But it's definitely one of the worst.
That was actually my number two. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Then you had a Kate Blanchett's Moose and Squirrel accent, which when you see her in Benjamin Button, and you can see that she can actually act, you're like, what did Spielberg do?
And I honestly,
and Lucas do?
I have to say, like, I didn't see any of the Indiana Jones movies until this year in prep for Indy 4. And honestly, like, watching them, I was like, okay, I understand that this is, like, a lot of people like this, but I wasn't too thrilled with them. And then going into the fourth one, I was like, oh my God, I'd be so pissed if I was a fan right now of the original series. So,
and I know I'm going to get hate from Billy Flynn from that. Well, we disagree. We've agreed to disagree about this, but I just don't see any redeeming qualities to this movie at all whatsoever. Even the Peruvian ninjas. Well, what?
Not even. I was actually going to rent it on Blu-ray just to watch a Blu-ray movie, and I couldn't even. I was like, no, I no.
You couldn't bring yourself to
do it? Yeah, I put it back.
Fair enough. Okay, and with that, I'm done with my list. So we'll go back to Barry.
Well,
this is like our geek rant show.
This is. I totally disagree with you, but that's okay. We'll agree to disagree. But though I think you'll probably agree with me on this one, tying at number five for me, you don't mess with the Zohan and Bedtime Stories. The double feature from hell. Sandler can act. We've seen Rain Over Me, and Sandler can make funny movies, although I don't think he's made a funny, you know, typical Adam Sandler comedy since 50 First Dates, and this is just... I never thought he could sink lower than Chuck and Larry, but he did it twice this year. Bedtime Stories is just desperate. And Zohan was, I found that one very offensive, in addition to being just a vortex of unfunny. Terrible, terrible, terrible movies, both from Adam Sandler.
All right, then. Back to Chris.
Yeah, I only have one left on my list, and that is going to go to really genuinely the worst movie I had to sit through, and that would be The Rocker with Rainn Wilson. A complete... It offended me, really, as a music lover, to have to sit through the bile and drivel that was this film. It was just homogeneously bad, I think. I really like Emma Stone from Superbad.
Me too. Yeah,
I think she has a lot of talent, but I think everything was wasted, from the words to the images that were put on the screen. Everything was just a waste of my time, and I could not dislike this movie any more than I do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, all right, then. Bad movie.
Okay, I'm at my number one. This was honestly the worst thing. You know, when I'm sitting there with my brother and he looks at me 20 minutes in and goes, "Do you want to leave?" I'm like, this really is the worst movie of the year. Max Painful. Max Payne was Marky the worst Mark thing I've seen all year.
This year, huh?
Yeah. it was so much worse than The Happening, honestly. So it was awful. Which I know, well, we'll talk about that when you mention it, but
yeah.
So
okay. Well, Ethan, I think you're the lone gunman left.
Okay, my number four is Babylon AD.
Mm, yeah.
And this is a movie, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that's been as obviously butchered by a studio. Even it was a director, he came out and said it was pure violence and stupidity. But it's just, when you're watching it, the movie makes these leaps that you're like, what happened? Like, where are we supposed to be understanding any of this? And, you know, I'm even like I kind of like Vin Diesel, I'll admit that. I'm probably going to lose a lot of cool points for that. But in this movie, just no. His career is over.
Fair enough. All right, then. And you know, I accidentally cut off Barry because he has more movies. I was like, wait a minute, he didn't mention this or this. Okay.
No, it's okay. I think we were going on.
I'll just go ahead on Barry.
Okay. Well, like you guys, The Happening, which I thought was depressingly bad. I remember sitting with that with my fellow critics at a Denver screening, and one of Reggie McDaniel, one of the finest Denver film critics, he was basically broke the bridge for us. He started laughing out loud, and we all kind of joined him. And after a while, you'd think we were watching Superbad. We were laughing so hard.
Well, Ben Lyons did say it was sick, twisted, and disturbing, so.
So did you look up what he said for all of your movies? Just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I'm going to have to do that for our best of list just to see what he thought. Yeah, never mind. Okay. Ethan, back to you. Number three.
My number three is Roland Emmerich's epic Lee Bad, 10,000 BC.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm actually even like, I enjoy a lot of Roland Emmerich's oeuvre, so to say, but this is just boring. Like, there's nothing going on in this movie that's remotely exciting or interesting or, yeah.
Fair enough.
Nothing more to say.
All right. We'll bounce back to Barry then.
Uwe Boll's In the Name of the King, A Dungeon-Siege Tale. Dave, you mentioned how the film wasted Jason Statham. I agree. It also wasted Ron Perlman, mm-hmm. Lily Sobieski, Burt Reynolds, Ray Liotta, and Christina Loken, who, if she could ever act, I haven't seen it in a few movies.
I don't know. I think Ray Liotta hammed it up so much that he was like the one fun part of the entire movie.
He was definitely trying. I mean, I think it was kind of ridiculous that it opens up. Jason Statham is like tending to his crops in the field, and his sidekick Ron Perlman comes along. Like, this is the casting is wrong from the beginning. I felt completely ripped off. The continuity was all over the place. You could pretty much re-edit the film in any order and it would still feel the same. The script was bad. I mean, it tried so hard to emulate like a epic fantasy movie. And for me, it was just remarkably terrible.
And I have to bring up one thing here, that I forgot to mention when I was talking about it earlier. Jason Statham's character is named Farmer. They go as far as to actually address this in the movie. I mean, normally in any B movie, you just let it go. Mommy, why does everyone call it Daddy Farmer? Well, because your father believes that your name should reflect what you do.
What?
Exactly. Yes.
So Ben Lyons' name would be Crapper?
I don't.
Not funny, sorry.
He loved Dungeon Sieges, but he hated Dungeon Siege.
Right back to Ethan.
My number two stinker of the year is Jumper,
Ooh.
Now, I don't want to offend anyone who liked this movie, but this is a movie made for stupid people. If you have an IQ of below 80, this movie was tailor-made to you. If there's this scene in the movie where Samuel L. Jackson, he gets Anakin Douche's a picture of his love interest, and he looks at it, and you should be able to say, oh, he's going to look for her, right? But instead, there's this poorly 80-yard line saying, oh, I wonder who that is. And that just summarized the pure stupidity of this movie.
All right, then.
What I didn't get about the movie, and maybe you can help me with this, but because maybe my IQ is lower than 80, but there's a moment where Samuel Jackson's, you know, he's got this white skunk hairdo, and it rubs against, I think, the floor, and you actually see like some white on the floor. So I'm like, so seriously, I mean, is this a mistake the filmmakers made, which I don't see how that could be possible, or was there like something to the effect like he had to like somehow dye his hair white?
Yeah, I think maybe his hair dresser had an IQ of below 80.
Okay. Dang. All right. Back to Barry.
Witless protection. Proof that even Jenny McCarthy's gorgeousness cannot save a movie. There's a scene in the film where, if I remember correctly, Larry the Cable Guy swallows car keys. If I remember, it's either car keys or a walkie-talkie, one of the two. I can't remember which. But he has to, you know, pass it through his system in order to, you know, to use it when it's needed. So he downs all this disgusting stuff. And there's this long sequence where he vomits it up. I was just amazing, just appalled at how amazingly disgusting it was. And it was kind of like listening to a three-year-old like tell like this really long-winded fart joke, you know. Yeah, just dreadful. A lot of good cast members in that movie too, and it is so much worse than Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector, which I've also seen.
So this is another movie for the people for the IQ under 80.
That would be an insult to people with an IQ under 80. So
okay then. So. Yeah. Dang. All right, Ethan.
Okay, drum roll, please.
Yeah, sure.
My worst film of the year, my absolute most detested film of the year, 2008, is The Love Guru.
So Timberlake couldn't save it for you?
You know, Timberlake, I actually think he's pretty talented, but in this, he's like one of those guys, you know, in high school who's like, who thinks he's the funny guy. So he like wails, he like flails his arms all about. He's like, woo, boo, 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 like, you know, those kind of douchebags.
It's kind of like Adam Sandler, sorry.
And, you know, I grew up like just idolizing Mike Myers, and this makes me want to go in a time machine and slap myself in the face. especially Myers, you hear about what a perfectionist he is, right?
Yeah.
Like, he had to perfect the joke of him farting? Like, what?
Wow.
It was the end when the two elephants started effing that just... Okay, you're going to have to get the bleep button ready. I know you don't have it, but...
I can do it in post.
This movie.
Okay. You need to not hold back so much, Ethan. You really just need to let it out.
But what did Ben Lyons think?
I'm sure he loves love gurus, but I think he has a picture of himself on his blog taken with Mike Myers, so I'm sure he likes it.
Oh, gosh. Oh boy. Okay. All right, well, I'll let you round out our spectacle of crap before we get into some disappointments, and then we'll close it out.
All right. Punisher War Zone. Worst film I've seen of the year. I've already said enough about it. It was an insult to film, an insult to comic book movies, an insult to anybody who've wasted an hour and a half watching that film. It is dreadfully bad. People compare it to the likes of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Catwoman. In fact, it's on the level of Albert Pyun's Captain America. It is dreadfully, dreadfully bad and unwatchable. The performances are at the level of Power Ranger villainy. I mean, really, really embarrassing performance, bad direction, bad action, tasteless, vile, stupid, ridiculous.
So the Dolph Lundgren movie was better?
Dolph Lundgren movie was better. The Thomas Jane movie was better. And this is the one film I've seen all year where walking out of it, I thought, you know, I don't know if I want to see another movie for at least a few days, which is... which is not something I've ever thought I'd hear myself say.
What was the last line of the movie?
Oh, beep. I got brains on me.
Okay, then. Well, and I'm going to let Josh run out of here.
I have to go to work.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Dan. Aww.
So.
Okay. Do you want to leave your... Sad do you have day. A disappointment list that I'll read off for you or anything? Or not really?
I just have a list of worst trailers.
Oh, cool.
Which is do Righteous real quick. Kill.
Sure.
Go for it.
I have a list of worst trailers that I just couldn't stand sitting through this year. Righteous Kill being number one. Mm-hmm. Kit Kittredge and Hotel for Dogs. These trailers, I just wanted to leave whatever movie I was at. So
that was like me for Bride Wars. Yeah.
Well, I saw the trailer for Disaster Movie in front. I forget what, but I actually walked out of the theater when it started playing. So.
I actually don't ever think I saw a preview for that. I just saw TV ads for it.
Yeah, me too.
We were spared. All right, so. We'll get out of here, sir.
Okay.
Have fun.
Bye, Josh.
We'll see you next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Roger. Are you guys going to be with us next week, too? Or
I believe that's the plan.
Yeah, sure.
Yay.
Okay. Cool beans.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. Peace out, you.
Okay.
And, Chris, I know you got to get out of here pretty quick, too, but I know you had a couple of disappointments you wanted to go over real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones this year was, or last year anyway, was Quantum of Solace. I think it when you watch Casino Royale, you would expect that the second one after that would be just as good. And I think this one was kind of meandering. It was a little confusing and just really, in the classical sense, just fell flat. Really disappointed with the way that one rolled out.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay, well, I know you must roll, so we don't want
and
to
he has
take
a plug to me, too.
Yes, yes. Do you have things that you need to plug?
I have a feature article that came out in Geek Monthly magazine.
Really?
Hit newsstands, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. I didn't realize until this week that it was actually out.
Sweet.
It is a profile piece on Attack of the Show's Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn.
And oh, there's so, difference.
Yeah, so if you're by a Barnes & Noble or Borders, go steal it or buy it. It's... You know, it was fun to do, and really, I think it's like actually the longest piece I've ever had published. So, by all means, if you had a chance, check that out, and yes. If not, check me out over at Quick Stop Entertainment.
And read about the kids in the hall. Sorry, I had to go there.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm definitely going to try to make it happen for next weekend because I have more positive things to obviously talk about.
Yeah, after the downer, we like to do an up, too. So, yeah, cool. Oh. what was that you just said, Ethan?
I was thinking, you know that song, just the two of us? I was changing it to just the three of us.
Okay. Well... Our thanks to Chris for joining us. Shall we move on to some disappointments? I've only got like one or two to mention anyway, so we're at like an hour and a half episode coming up on it. So yeah, I guess I'll start it off because I only have one to really mention, and that would have been Zach and Mary Make a Porno. This wasn't the worst movie made, but I think that Kevin Smith is capable of so much more. There were some nuggets of real funny goodness in this movie. But I'd love to see him try to stretch himself as a filmmaker. I think he's extremely talented. I think he's amazingly good. This one just didn't blow me away. I don't know what it was about it. Justin Long was awesome in it, you know, but when you're talking about someone who's in the movie for about 5 minutes, that's not the best thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys disagree or not, but...
I agree.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I wish Smith would climb out of the toilet bowl and do a movie that's really from the heart. And this film, for me, it felt manufactured, the moments that were trying to be heartfelt. Very disappointing. That's actually on my list, too.
Well, and it's not like he can't do gross and heartfelt, because somehow he pulled it off with Clerks 2 as well.
Right.
Because Clerks 2, I mean, it was nasty, but it had this really sweet center at it.
Clerks 2 is a much better film, yeah.
I would agree. Okay. Ethan, we'll let you go next.
Yeah, my two biggest disappointments for the year are Revolutionary Road and Quantum of Solace.
Hmm.
I really thought these movies were going to rock my world, but they did nothing for me at all. So,
fair enough. All right. Barry, I'll let you wrap it up then.
Cassandra's Dream, the Woody Allen thriller with the... with Colin Farrell. Very disappointing. Should have been great. Dark material, but just really dreary, forgettable movie. George A. Romero's Diary of the Dead. I expected a lot from it, and fortunately, I think it's the weakest of his zombie movies thus far. Drobit Taylor, a movie that has a really funny 15 minutes, but not a great movie. Very disappointing. Really funny idea for a movie, but it's really a nasty, mean-spirited, unfunny little film.
So you think watching like My Bodyguard would be a better idea?
Much, much better. Yeah, okay. Much far superior film. We already talked about this one. Jumper, definitely a great special effects. It's like they created great effects and they tried to write a movie around it. Man, without the effects, that movie would be completely unwatchable. Hancock. You know, I'm not even that crazy about the first hour of the movie. For me, the film felt like if it was like a 2.5 hour movie and they cut it down to 90 minutes. It feels completely butchered to me.
And even seeing the unrated cut doesn't add much.
Yeah.
So
that's a shame. Yeah, because there's good stuff there, and you know, Smith is a good actor, but yeah, it's a drag of a film. The other Bowling Girl we already mentioned. Good looking, bad movie. Another movie that looked fantastic. Lousy movie, though, The Spirit. And I think probably one of the biggest downers for me was Spike Lee's new film, Miracle at St. Anna. There's great scenes in the film, but at 3 hours long, it's kind of shapeless and it's really messy. And there's so many different subplots and things going on. I think if it were edited down to a really tight 2 hours, it could have been really terrific. But at 3 hours, it was just a little messy.
Fair enough.
Okay. Wait, Mary, would you consider the Dark Knight a disappointment?
Oh, yeah. But not a bad film, though. That's I didn't want to even include it on this list. I thought it was a bit overrated, and I had some problems with the story. I thought the story was a little messy. And having seen it again recently, I thought the editing, too, was a little problematic at times. But I thought the great performances and certainly some really fantastic scenes certainly made it a good film. Not one that I really liked, but... Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat too. I got it for Christmas and watched it, and
yeah, it didn't play well for me at all the second time.
The same issues, the issues I had before, were still there.
Yeah,
just as
weird. Actually, I appreciated it even more the second time I saw it. To be honest.
Hmm.
Cool,
but that's just me.
Yeah, and that's all good.
Well, you know, Heath Ledger's performance for me, it got better the second time. It's such an interesting piece to watch. I mean, there's some real inventiveness that he's doing there, and I got to say, I appreciated that much more the second time.
Cool. All right, well, go ahead and send us your picks if you'd like to. We'll give you that email address at the end of the show. But let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week. Bring on the crap.
Well, it's in the title, Hotel for Dogs, starring Emma Roberts, who very appealing in other films. I don't know why she keeps doing movies like this. My Bloody Valentine in 3D, 3D slasher film.
This has been getting a lot of good word.
I'm very curious. Josh and I will be checking it out Thursday night.
Devin Faraci, are you talking about his rave? Or
I was talking about the word that came out of Butnamathon. Everyone loved it.
Well, yeah, he was one of the guys. I was just going to say, because remember, he liked Punisher Warzone, too. So.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't just him saying that he liked it. It's been pretty universal for people who've liked it.
He liked Punisher Warzone, really? Oh, okay. And then Notorious. Jamal Woolard is the Notorious B.I.G. Anthony Mackie is Tupac Shakur. And Derek Luke is Puff Daddy. Yes.
Does it kind of look like they've made Biggie into Fat Albert in this movie? Like, I just saw a clip and it yeah.
Well, he does have the Jughead hat on at one point in the movie.
Yeah, he just sounded so much like Fat Albert when I saw the clip. Yeah.
Although a little more violent than Fat Albert. Kevin James is Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Okay, Paul Blart. Is not that not something you just pull out of your butt at some point? Paul Blart. No effort went into this movie. I just had that feeling. I'm just guessing. Of course, I've also seen a commercial, which was enough to make me want to hurt myself.
I hope it's better than the trailer, but it is January, so... Yeah.
So
keep those expectations low. And finally, in limited release, Chandi Chowk to China.
Which is a Bollywood cross between a Bollywood movie and a Shaw Brothers movie, apparently.
Wow.
In limited release.
Yeah. So cool.
It's an interesting combination. We'll have to see about that.
Yeah.
We do have one piece of mail. Our voicemail number's been down, but Billy Flynn actually has my cell number, so he called me on my cell and left me a voicemail.
Stalker.
Yeah. There you go. No, he's a good friend of the show. He may be joining us at Starfest, so I'm going to pull that up here, so hang on.
Dude, what happened to the voicemail number? I'm listening to the show. Oh, hi, by the way. It's the wonderful Billy Flynn. I guess I should start off by saying, guys, look, I hooked my MP3 player back up and got new podcasts. And what did I get first? Well, Screen Geeks, of course. You guys are what I've listened to. Have not heard the Leonard Part 6 commentary yet. I'm saving that for a very special night. But, end of the episode with you and Josh, you're talking. You're like, oh, there's no voicemail. What are you talking about? I dialed the voicemail number. There's no voicemail. What happened? How am I supposed to tell you how great the show is and how much I've missed being around? And where else am I going to tell you that you should be looking forward to a Hot Wheels movie? Because the inevitable straight-to-DVD sequels are going to come out like Hot Wheels, Crisscross Crash, Hot Wheels, Wall Climbers. I mean, okay, yeah, it's going to be incredibly stupid, but I'm sure Jason Statham will be in it. Whether or not he's going to be a cyborg like he is in Crank 2, who knows? Yes, everybody come over to Netflix. Netflix is so much better than Blockbuster. Yes, you can stream through your Xbox, and by God, it's worth it for the actual theatrical version of Grindhouse. Netflix, I've been a member of Netflix for like 10 freaking years now. It's awesome, you should do that. Yeah, guys, do a new show, get a voicemail number, and Dave, seriously, man, American Werewolf in London, greatest werewolf movie ever. You have to go see it. Greatest ever. And Josh, yeah, dude, Howling is actually pretty cool and pretty funny if you know your horror movie history stuff, but it's not the movie to watch after an American Werewolf in London. Totally, completely different, just off the wall. If you watch it again, unrelated to that, I think you'll have a better time with it. Anyway, I've got like hours and hours and hours and hours of more podcasts to go catch up on, and I will talk to you gentlemen at a later time. You have a good one. Bye, guys.
And yes, that actually was played for my cell phone. Our thanks to Billy Flynn.
Thank you.
And yes, welcome back. And I'm kind of disturbed by the whole I'm going to save Leonard Part 6 for a special evening. I don't know what
What constitutes a special evening with that movie?
I don't know.
I don't even want to imagine.
Duct tape and I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to shoot us an email, we're working on getting a voicemail number back up and running. You can hit us an email at podcast, Ethan, Barry, Dave, Josh, at screengeeks.com. And we'll be back next week talking about happier things, I promise. If you're watching the Golden Globes, enjoy them tonight. And take it easy. Until then, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Ethan.
Yay, Ethan. Thank you, sir. Take it easy, everyone.